fighting tyranny and government overreach. This is the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. We have a thrill-packed action-adventure show for you today. We're going to be joined by CFAT, Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, Senior Policy Advisor Paul Dreesen, who has a phenomenal message that you need to hear about so-called green energy, wind, solar, electric vehicles. I don't think you've actually heard it this clearly presented, this completely stated. Paul Dreesen will be joining us in a few minutes. He's the author of Green Power, Black Death, and the co-author of Energy Keepers, Energy Killers. And one of his big issues is development in the third world or the developing world and bringing energy, cheap, reliable energy to poor nations of our world and ending energy poverty. So we'll be joined shortly by Paul Wyrick. But the big news this week is Lord Fauci in the United States. Anthony Fauci has announced he is departing at the end of the year or even sooner in the United States as the head of the public health bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., the National Institute of Health. He has been in power for over 40 years. And as his parting shot of leaving, he actually said that he never advocated for lockdowns. Lockdowns have become so unpopular. So I was going to go ahead and play this clip so you can have an idea of the world of Anthony Fauci, the world of COVID lockdowns, the world that ushered in the Great Reset, and the lies and the way the people in power are now trying to squirm out of their role in bringing all this about. So here, just bear with me. This is worth listening to this. Anthony Fauci claiming he never supported a lockdown. And this is central to my book, The Great Reset. It's all about the permanent lockdown. My book releases August 30th internationally, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever fine books are sold. But here's the breaking news this week. Anthony Fauci leaving the public health bureaucracy of the United States. Here's his claim on Fox News Channel, being interviewed by the Neil Cavuto. And then this is from Justin Hart. Roll the tape to prove that Fauci is not telling you the truth.
Do you regret particularly the last one, the shutdown, the sweeping shutdown that some said made things worse?
No, I don't, Neil. And in fact, I think we need to make sure that your listeners understand I didn't shut down anything.
I recommended to the president that we shut the country down. And the only way to do that is by draconian means of essentially shutting down a country. We know that we can do that if we shut down.
Well, I think one of the things you really need to do, to the extent that you can shut down temporarily the country, I think is important.
Well, if I knew at the time that shutting down would have such a dramatic effect on controlling the spread, obviously we would have shut down earlier. There are those who say you shut down your destructive things by disrupting the economy. And others say, well, if you save so many infections by shutting down, why didn't you shut down 2 weeks earlier?
So, and that video goes on and on. It is a phenomenal video. It just shows you his claim that he never recommended shutting down. That's what he's claiming in August of 2022. And you can go back for 2 years of footage. His latest, of course, is he would have shut down earlier now because he was worried about the transmissibility. Make no mistake, the lockdowns didn't prevent transmission. The most locked down cities, counties, states had no difference in the rates from other areas, countries, the same thing. And this is what they based their policy on. It was a following. And as I detail in my book, The Great Reset, they were following like lemmings, the Chinese. The World Health Organization sent a special committee to do what China's doing, which was lockdown. And Anthony Fauci was only too willing to go along with that. So Anthony Fauci, by doing this week, has brought a fascinating reaction across the spectrum. People have actually have Fauci signs in their yards in places like Bethesda, Maryland. And people are just like saluting them and thanking them. The mainstream media, this is like their holy figure is now retiring and becoming emeritus figure. So, of course, they're going to do all sorts of canonization. But some of the best analysis were from one was from Jordan Schachtel. And I love this quote. Lifetime government bureaucrat Fauci resigns following 54-year career of corruption, deceit, death, and destruction. So that's what Anthony Fauci said. Joe Biden issued this statement. Whether you've met Fauci personally or not, he has touched all Americans and lives with his work. Which then I released a statement which got picked up by Cybercast News Service here in the United States. And my quote was this. Biden is correct. Fauci has indeed touched the lives of all Americans with his work, perhaps more than any unelected federal bureaucrat in American history. Fauci's work was instrumental in masking, canceling your kids' schools, sporting events, shutting down churches, canceling weddings, funerals, stay-at-home orders, curfews, small and independent business closures, vaccine mandates, economic calamity, deferred medical treatment, gym closures, mental health crisis, spikes in addiction. Fauci helped usher in the new abnormal. Dr. Fauci, you will not be missed. And I go on to say this is decades too late. Never again can we allow one government bureaucrat to amass this much power and control of pharmaceutical funds and research. Let's hope there's a proper investigation into Fauci's reign of error at NIH. It's important to understand how central to the Great Reset that Anthony Fauci's role has been in this whole public health bureaucracy and the World Health Organization. Deborah Birx, who was appointed by Trump in the Trump task force, actually talks about how she colluded with Fauci and Francis Collins and other public health figures. They knew it was a lie when they said 15 days to slow the spread. They knew it was not going to be 15 days. They knew the vaccines were not going to get us out of the pandemic. And she has a book that's revealing all this. So you don't have to believe anyone. And I love the quote, and I'll get to it later, but we're now no longer conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy observers in real time. And we'll talk about that later. But right now, I'm going to go ahead and bring in our guest this evening, afternoon, morning, is depending on your time zone. Paul Dreesen, Senior Policy Advisor with the Committee for Constructive Tomorrow, my parent company, CFAX. And Paul is the author of two books, The Green Power, Black Death, and also co-author of Energy Keepers, Energy Killers. Paul is very concerned about poverty, energy poverty in the developing world. And Paul has a fascinating take and probably one of the most informative, articulate takes you're going to hear on the green energy, alleged green energy environmental benefits and agenda. And I just saw Paul recently at our conference, the Doctors for Disaster Preparedness in Las Vegas. Paul's been a friend for decades. I've known him since the early 2000s, at least. And I want to welcome to the program Paul Dreesen. Paul, are you there?
I am here, and thank you for that very nice introduction.
Oh, you're welcome,
Paul. I hope I can live up to that.
All right. Thank you. Well, you have about a 9-minute segment coming up here, and then we'll do another segment. But I wanted to start, you did a talk, and I think that's the best place to begin at this Doctors for Disaster Preparedness. It was on August 16th. And it was called The Great Green Renewable Energy Hoax. Just tell me, when you hear things about the Green New Deal, about cleaner solar and wind, how did we get to this point where people believe that green energy is the only way forward and that if we're using oil, gas, or any other form of so-called fossil fuel, we are destroying the earth? How do we get to this point? Tell us a little bit about how your evolution on this, how you went from energy poverty concerns to investigating the green energy agenda.
Heck, I went from being involved in Greenpeace and Sierra Club and believing their claims to realizing that they're just lying to us all the time. But bottom line here is how we got where we are is we're bombarded constantly with climate crisis, green energy propaganda, and misinformation. And we're largely shut down on this side, canceled, suppressed from presenting the facts on this. I mean, it's very simple from my perspective as I think this through. Wind and sunshine are certainly renewable and sustainable and clean and green, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about harnessing wind and sunshine to meet modern energy needs, which are huge and growing by the day almost. And harnessing wind and solar definitely is not clean, green, renewable, and sustainable, primarily because you need massive numbers of wind turbines, solar panels, and so forth to capture and harness and utilize and convert that solar and wind energy into something we can use. And then because it doesn't blow, the wind doesn't blow all the time, the sun doesn't shine, we need something to back that up. And they don't want fossil fuel power plants or even hydroelectric or nuclear power. So we got to have something, and it comes down to batteries, billions of batteries to back up millions of solar panels or billions of solar panels and millions of wind turbines. All of those need metals and minerals and cement, vast, massive quantities that have to be dug out of the earth and processed and turned into wind turbines and solar panels and batteries and transmission lines and transformers. So by the time you're done, clean, green, renewable, sustainable wind and solar and battery power is the most unsustainable, dirtiest, unrenewable power that we can possibly get. It will devastate the planet, and it will still give us unreliable, unpredictable, weather-dependent energy.
Well, that's very well said. I mean, I always like to say, you know, green energy digs the earth. And I don't mean that in a Brady Bunch 1970s groovy way. I mean, it excavates the earth. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the cobalt mines or lithium and China's involvement in that human rights aspect of this green energy.
Yeah, that's another really important point that gets glossed over, suppressed, ignored. Just for the cobalt that we need today, for the very small number of electric vehicles, our computers, our cell phones, all those batteries, we've got 40,000 children as young as 4 years old laboring all day long, sunrise to sundown, in mines in the Democratic Republic of Congo, working with their parents, crawling in little holes in the ground, being exposed every single day, constantly, to filthy, toxic, radioactive wind and sun and water and dirt as they dig out the ores and send them off to China to be processed. So China controls most of the mining, most of the processing, and now most of the manufacturing when it comes to wind, solar, and battery power, which is another aspect of this. And their environmental standards are very low, almost non-existent. They are worse than the robber barons had in the late 1800s here in the United States. They just totally ignore virtually everything: air and water pollution, endangered species, mined land reclamation. They ignore basic fair wage and workplace safety standards. They absolutely ignore child labor rules that we would be appalled at. And they use a lot of slave labor, especially Uyghur slave labor, people that are getting no money at all for working in their factories and processing plants, to those who are getting a couple of dollars a day. So that's what's going on behind the scenes here, in addition to the environmental desecration and the vast amounts of raw materials that are needed to make all these various energy systems.
Well, and you make a great point in your presentation. You said that ESG, environmental social governance, the human rights activists demand this ESG rating for clothing, coffee, and fossil fuels, but not for green energy. So why is there a blind spot there? Of course, you know, the ESG is supposed to be your virtue signaling, like you're doing everything right. You have good environmental standards. You have good human rights records. Why don't they apply ESG standards to this renewable energy?
Well, A, they're wedded to this climate crisis narrative, man-made catastrophic climate change narrative. And B, they view wind and solar and battery power as the solution to this crisis that's going to envelop humanity and our planet. So they cannot abide anything that becomes critical of wind, solar, and battery power. And that includes human rights violations. It includes environmental desecration. It includes slaughtering birds and bats with wind turbines and blanketing massive areas of otherwise wildlife habitat with solar panels and transmission lines and wind turbines and battery complexes. So they would be cutting their own throats if they were to apply ESG standards to any of that, or even ESG honesty and transparency standards to the whole climate crisis so-called debate that they don't want to have and that they claim where the science is settled. So it's largely cancel culture, run amok, and ignoring all their supposed morals and ethics when it comes to supposedly clean, green, renewable, sustainable energy.
All right. Well, thank you. We're going to take a break. This is the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. I'm talking with Paul Dreesen, Senior Policy Advisor for Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. We'll be right back after these messages.
You should hear what Hesher is talking about.
It's called the Fauci effect. Trust me, I don't get excited about that. I mean, it's nice, but I mean, it's people go to medical school now. People are interested in science, not because of me, because most people don't know me, who I am. My friends know me, my wife knows me, but people don't know me. It's what I symbolize. And what I symbolize in an era of the normalization of untruths and lies and all the things you're seeing going on in society from January 6th to everything else that goes on, people, the craving for consistency, for integrity, for truth, and for people caring about people.
You gotta love that. Is that not amazing? He symbolizes truth in an era of untruth and lies. Are you kidding me? The gall of this guy. Does he really believe this trash coming out of his mouth? You got to wonder. And he says he's trying to talk about lies and untruths, from J6 to everything else. Does everything else also include the absolute decimation of our economy? Does everything else include the rises in violent crimes, assault, suicide, drug abuse, all that stuff, which can much of it largely be tied to people's reaction to the government's reaction to the pandemic?
Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with. The same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
This is the Mark Morano Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. We're here talking with Paul Dreesen, continuing our discussion, Senior Policy Advisor for Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. We're talking about essentially the green energy hoax. And Paul has been, one of the foremost experts on this about how it's not green. So tell us how, Milton Friedman reminded us there's no free lunch, as you like to point out. And you also quote P.T. Barnum as saying there's a sucker born every minute. Have Americans in the world, particularly Europe, by the way, been suckered by green energy?
Absolutely. There's no other way to look at it. We've been conned. We've been lied to. We've had other opinions suppressed. We've had this stuff rammed down our throats from kindergarten onward. And it's just so incessant, so prevalent, so pervasive that it's not surprising. We've got suckers born every 10 seconds, maybe every 5 seconds at this point on this green energy issue.
It's amazing. I mean, when you look at what's happening in Europe, I think you've seen the clip where Donald Trump is talking to the German delegation at the United Nations, telling them how they're becoming so dependent on Putin's Russia. And they all sort of chuckle at him and laugh because they believe they're green genes. I mean, just spend a minute. Like, what has happened? How did Europe delude themselves to this level where at one point you had UK talking about pouring cement into their fracking wells as a virtue signal to the net zero agenda? You have Germany shutting down domestic energy, ever more reliance on Russia. You have the East Med pipeline being shut from Israel. I mean, Europe did whatever it could to increase its dependence on Russia. How does that kind of national security issue just become, you know, they became delusional with green energy? How does it have that kind of power, green energy appeal?
Yeah, I think delusion, insanity, also suppression of thought. I mean, they've got far less freedom of speech and thought and access to other opinions than we have here in the United States, even with the cancel culture running rampant. It's just absolutely crazy what they have done to themselves, shutting down fracking, coal, nuclear, hydroelectric, and assuming that gas from Russia somehow doesn't have greenhouse gases associated with it when it's produced and transported and burned to generate electricity or to warm homes, or when it's converted into fertilizers and plastics and 1,000 different products that we use every day, all of the feedstocks, the raw materials for those pharmaceuticals and all these other products are oil and natural gas. They ignore all of that and they think they're going to get a free lunch.
Well, and you actually use the phrase magic, that this requires almost magical thinking and magic. Explain what magic means and how it applies to this green energy fantasy.
Yeah, there's two levels. Well, there's sort of three levels of magic. Let me start with the one that I don't categorize as magic, but that is the source of, well, I do, but I don't have a cool acronym for it, put it that way. And that is, where are we getting all these raw materials? We're getting them from China and Africa and Latin America. We don't want to mine for them here in the United States or in Europe. We're going to have energy colonies, eco-imperialist energy colonies in all these other nations and parts of the world. And they are all using fossil fuels more and more and more every single year, not only to lift their people out of poverty, but also to do the mining and processing and manufacturing that we don't do anymore, or we can't do because we don't have the reliable, affordable energy to do it. So I have two terms for this. First one is minimal acreage for green infrastructure and conveyance. That is the notion that we're only going to need a few wind turbines, a few solar panels, a few batteries, and a small amount of land to generate all this replacement energy, to replace all the electricity that we generate with fossil fuels, to replace all the gasoline-powered and diesel-powered cars and trucks and buses, to replace natural gas in our homes for heating and air and for cooking and so forth. We're going to replace all of that, and we're only going to need a couple dozen wind turbines or solar panels and batteries. It's insanity. So minimal acreage for green infrastructure and conveyance, where conveyance means transmission lines. Yes. All across the country, thousands of miles of new high voltage transmission lines. And if you think about that, it's a kind of a big mouthful term, minimal acreage for green infrastructure and conveyance, but you can remember it really well by using the acronym, which is MAGIC, or MAGIC. And it's going to take magic to get all these materials and create the minimal numbers of wind turbines and solar panels that they claim are necessary. And we'll get into that in just a minute. And the other part of this is materials acquisition for global industrial change. Industrial change, meaning we're going to make this massive transition from fossil fuels to clean, green, renewable energy. And again, MAGIC is the acronym for that. Magic. If they just think it's these things are going to simply appear, be there, and all the materials are going to be there, and all the energy is just going to be there. It's not. It's going to take so much mining, thousands of new mines, processing plants, factories, transport systems to get all that wind turbine, solar panel, and battery power from China mostly over here to the United States or to Europe. And China's going to use its energy and economic might, its control of all those raw materials and the processing and the manufacturing as a weapon. The same way Russia is doing it now against Europe on the Ukraine invasion and slaughtering that's going on. So it's a big, complex topic, but one that just takes a little brain power. You have to think it through a little bit. Stuff doesn't just appear. It comes from somewhere. Even the stuff in your local Safeway or Giant or other supermarket, it doesn't just appear on those shelves. It comes from somewhere. It's from a farm, going through a processing plant, getting packaged, getting transported. And we just have gotten away from any concept of where things in our lives actually come from and what they're made out of and how they're made. So well, on that, it carries over.
Yeah, go ahead.
I said, going to say it just carries over from going to the food market to wind and solar and battery power. It's just this insane concept that this stuff is just going to be there and our living standards are going to be there and our jobs will be there. And the energy when we want to turn on a light or warm our homes or air condition them in the summer, it's just going to be there. And it's not. It doesn't just happen.
Well, one of the things you hear, though, is from people like AOC, even Bill Gates, and a lot of these green energy pushers, is they just believe with a little investment and a little urgency. They say we need wartime, a wartime effort. Like this is our World War II with the famous words of AOC. Is it possible that if we invest money and put pressure and scare the hell out of everyone that we're going to have these massive technological breakthroughs in solar, wind, battery storage? It's just going to happen overnight. Like AOC claims we're going to have stuff we can't even conceive right now, because once you put out that, it's kind of like a Manhattan Project, the urgency, the terror, we have to race against time. And that's going to just spur some magic, use the word magic, innovation. What is your reaction to that kind of thinking? Because that's what when you press an environmentalist, they will actually say that there's just going to be breakthroughs they can't even foresee right now. And they're just going to happen and everyone's going to be in awe.
Yeah, well, we did it in World War II. Why can't we do it now? We just waved a magic wand and passed a law, and here were all these ships of the line, battleships and cruisers and destroyers and aircraft carriers, B-17 and B-24 and B-26 bombers and P-51 Mustang fighter planes. They just appeared magically. We didn't have to mine to get the materials. We didn't have to have factories. It just happened. That's kind of the insanity that AOC, who doesn't have a brain to carry her beyond gossiping and shooting her mouth off behind a bar when she's a bartender, she's just trying to do the same stupid stuff while she's in Congress, where she actually has a responsibility toward our people, her own constituents, toward our country, toward our future. And she doesn't have a clue what's going on, nor do most of the other members of Congress, I would hazard, even Republicans, who are far more attuned to this than the Democratic base is.
I remember you wrote an article one time about that wartime mentality and rationing, and just, essentially they're asking us to live in a land of deprivation because of this alleged, climate crisis.
Yeah. This is what's happening right now in Germany. The German government and the UK government, Britain are telling their people, well, you got to get used to paying 4, 5, 6, 10 times more for your natural gas and electricity than Americans are paying right now. And you've got to get used to one air travel trip every 3 years, ditching your car, walking, taking transportation or taking a bike, keeping your home at 66 degrees all winter long at the warmest you're going to be allowed to have it, and no cooler than 80 or 85 degrees in the summertime. You can't use your air conditioning, and you're going to be required to give up any driving that you might want to do, or take mass transportation with all the risks associated with that. But basically, and they want to also tell you, your home cannot be bigger than 650 square feet. That's probably Al Gore's bedroom size.
Yes.
It's just crazy, but this is what they want to do. They want to control every aspect of our lives and living standards, our travel, anything, you know, what we eat. They want to be in charge. And of course, they're not going to have those same rules apply to them. Look at John Kerry. He tells all the rest of us we can fly once every 3 years, but he, because he's so important, he has to take a private jet and a limousine wherever he goes. Al Gore, the same thing.
Yeah, I always joke. They tell us to keep fossil fuels in the ground, but they can't stop using them lavishly up in the air. That's, you know, whether it's Bernie Sanders or John Kerry or Al Gore or Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, it's incredible. Now, Joe Biden wants to put in offshore wind. He wants to install 30,000 megawatts of wind power off America's coast by 2030. It's part of his 30 by 30. Is that going to save us from a climate crisis?
Oh, absolutely. 30,000 megawatts. My goodness, that sounds like an enormous
amount. Sounds like a lot. It's mega. Mega is giant.
Gosh, who could possibly need more than 30,000 megawatts of electricity? Well, here's an example. New York State, that is not quite their peak summertime one-day electricity needs. That's how much they need in New York State. So imagine how much electricity all 12 coastal, eastern coast states here in the United States would need. And this is just right now. Wait until you get rid of all the fossil fuels for heating heating your home, for cooking, for driving your cars, and everything has to be electricity. So it's going to triple the amount that you're going to need. But let's go back to New York. 30,000 megawatts, that's New York State's summertime peak electricity needs. And that's assuming all those wind turbines are churning away 24/7, 365 at their full capacity. In reality, they won't even make 40% of that on average year round. So what goes into making those wind turbines? Let's look at just one aspect of this. You need a huge amount of copper for all the wiring and stuff going on in that wind turbine, for the generator, for the wires coming out of the wind turbine and heading ashore. Those 30,000 megawatts are going to need 2,500 12 megawatt wind turbines. Those turbines are going to need 110,000 tons of copper. Now, we can get copper all over the planet, except the greenies don't want any mining here in the United States. So we're going to chase all around the world and get this copper. And the average, this is just mind-blowing, the average copper ore deposit today has 0.44% copper, and yet it can be mined and processed profitably. But to do that, to get that 110,000 tons of copper, you're going to have to dig up 25 million tons of copper ore and process it. And to get to that 25 million tons, you've got to mine, dig away 40 million tons of the rock that's on top of the ore. And you have to crush it, and you have to process it, and then you have to go through metallurgical processes. And here's a great way to see how much rock you're talking about. You could take that 65 million tons of rock that comes out of getting that copper, and you could make a 24-foot wide highway and bury it 10 feet deep in rock all the way from Washington, D.C. to Tampa, Florida. That's how much rock you're talking about just to get that first 30,000 megawatts worth of copper.
Okay, wow. Well,
this is just insanity. It's a belief in magic, like Harry Potter.
All right, we have about a minute left. We have about a minute left, Paul. Just tell us, how do we fight this? How do we get politicians, bureaucrats, the public to understand? How do we fight back against this net zero climate agenda that's crushing gas-powered cars, our feeding, our farming lands, our travel, our emissions, our lifestyles? How do we fight back?
Well, I guess we start by listening to our programs like this, going on Town Hall and CFAC.org and Heartland.org, and seeing the articles that I've written and other people have written. What's up with that for climate news? Learn about this stuff. Start to understand what's really involved here to solve this non-existent climate crisis and how we would devastate the planet, and then raise these issues with your friends, your neighbors, and every town hall meeting, every time you had a chance to talk to one of your congressmen or senators at the state and federal level. Put this in their faces and ask them about this stuff. Force them to tell you how they're going to make this magic happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This is we've been listening to Paul Dreesen. He's the senior policy advisor with Committee for Constructive Tomorrow. Paul's work can be seen at CFACT.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Paul.
It's been my pleasure, Mark.
All right. Thank you. And this is the Mark Morano Show. And
give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So you send your child to school in the morning and you expect your child's teacher to teach them. Should anything problematic or unusual arise, you'd expect your child's teacher to make you aware of the situation so you could work it out with your child. Well, forget that scenario. The way many schools work today is that once your kid walks through those school doors, he or she belongs to the school. The teacher becomes the parent. Take Fairfax County Public Schools in Virginia. New training materials have been uncovered showing that parental consent is not required for them to change their gender identity. One training slide asks, which of the following require parental permission? It lists student requests to use a private bathroom, to use the locker room that corresponds to their gender identity, and to be called by a different name. The answer? Parental permission is needed for none of the above. And look for this to get worse before it gets better. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless gas that can be fatal. Don't use anything indoors that burns fuel, such as gasoline-powered generators, camp stoves and lanterns, or charcoal grills. Opening doors and windows or using fans isn't enough. Have your vents and chimneys checked to make sure water heater and gas furnace exhausts aren't blocked. If you feel sick, dizzy or weak while using a generator, get to fresh air right away. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
My therapist had told me that I needed to go to AA meetings, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go because I didn't want to be an alcoholic. That was not what I wanted to grow up and be. I didn't want to go to AA, but I did, and it wasn't what I expected by any means. It was friendly. I could feel it. I mean, I could feel the happiness. It's really great.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
You're with Mark Morano on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. That was a great segment with Paul Dreesen, the CFACT senior policy advisor, just demolishing green energy. Well, keeping with a related theme, there has been some huge news this week. The great acceleration, I call it the great car reset, is arriving. Planned vehicle rationing is underway. California has officially announced they're going to ban the sale of new gasoline cars by 2035, go all electric by then. 12 other states are set to follow. Now, this is significant because California sends a signal as the biggest economy that the automakers pay attention. So if they pass laws like this and they put regulations, this is basically saying this is heralding the end of gas-powered cars. Now, you might say, oh, well, what's the big deal? Californians deserve it. No, the problem is this is coming also from the Biden administration, from the Green New Deal, from the EU, from the World Economic Forum. And most shockingly, it didn't see it coming this quickly, was the World Bank. Nicholas Stern, the former president of the World Bank at just a few months ago, floated the idea of the end of conventional gas-powered vehicle sales. He wants clarity on timescales for stopping the sale of internal combustion engines. Now, if you have the woke states and the bureaucracies and the governors like Newsom saying that's the end of the gas-powered car, and you have the World Bank saying, we're not going to be funding this anywhere. We want this to stop. You can't get bigger than the World Bank. On top of that, Australian Bank has just announced that it will ban loans for gas and diesel cars to meet the net zero climate goals. And this is significant. So if you're one of those people who are like, well, this isn't going to affect me. They're not going to take my gas-powered car away. I want a choice. You're not going to be able to get a loan for the car. The automakers aren't going to get funding from international and corporate banking systems, and the states aren't going to allow it. The federal government isn't going to allow it. So what's going to happen? This is an intentional part of the Great Reset. By the way, did I mention my book comes out, The Great Reset by Mark Morano, comes out August 30th. This is an intentional part to make cars more difficult to ration the number. And if you listen to a Paul Dreesen saying with these electric cars, you need the cobalt, you need the lithium, you need all these minerals and metals, and they're just not available. They're not going to be able to come up to scale. Plus an electric car is much more expensive. The average electric car around $60,000 in the United States. So what they're basically doing is saying, we're going to ration cars. We're going to create chaos in the automobile market. And this is all part of the climate agenda, the net zero Green New Deal agenda. The more they can create havoc now in cars, they've already done it with gas prices. They're doing it with energy. They're creating car shortage, just like they created energy shortage, just like they're creating a food shortage. This helps with the chaos agenda. And I've told you before on this show that Vladimir Lenin's comments about, you know, worse is better, the worse, the better. This is all in line with that. In order to create a revolution, a radical transformation of every aspect of our lives, as Nancy Pelosi once said when she was visiting China, you need to mess up the current order, to reset everything, the Great Reset, you need to mess it all up. What better way than to not allow you to say, hey, I like a Tesla, I like to test drive it. No, that's going to be your only choice. Now, this is just part one of the agenda, because we know part two is that their actual goal is to start ending private ownership of cars. And we actually have the World Economic Forum on record of this. The UK Transportation Secretary under Boris Johnson has announced that owning a car is outdated 20th century thinking. This is now on record. We know that Andrew Yang, who ran for the Democratic Party nomination for president, one of his proposals was a roving fleet of rental electric cars available. You'd call up on order and abolish private car ownership. We know that Ireland has talked about ending private car ownership. We know that Business Insider magazine has said electric cars aren't going to be enough. We need to end private car ownership. Why? The car is the symbol of American, particularly American freedom. Go anywhere, do anything, travel, move about. And one of the key things of the Great Reset, the climate agenda, the net zero, Green New Deal, is to stop that movement. Paul Dreesen earlier alluded several times to fly once every 3 years. This is part of every academic report on climate. It's part of International Energy Agency reports on climate lockdowns. It's part of government reports. It's part of the activist agenda. The idea is they want to limit your travel. In France, Macron has been pushing for this end of short-haul flights. In other words, if you can take a city bus or a train, you can't fly, you don't need, you're not going to make available, not allow the airlines to even make available short haul flights from city to city, that you're going to have to be inconvenienced and take other things. These are bureaucrats making these decisions. These are politicians following this net zero agenda because the planet's about to die and we're facing unprecedented stuff. And this is the basis by which of doing it. And what's frightening is, not only are they taking away car ownership and by starting with this, just the internal combustion, but they're going after food production. And we've talked about this on the program before. The food production angle is they predicted for decades climate change was going to cause a food shortage. And what happens? We have boom in every kind of crop conceivable. Even NASA says that CO2 is fertilizing the earth. Deserts are greening. Crops are booming. Famines have dropped globally massively in the decades. You can look at the chart. It's unbelievable. Success, success, success. Completely wrong. But by coming in and saying we can't allow nitrogen fertilizer, nitric oxide is a dangerous greenhouse gas that's causing dangerous warming. We need to stop modern chemical agriculture. They put their sights in the Netherlands, the largest meat exporter in Europe. They put their sights on Canada. They put their sights on Australia, decimating Australian farmers. Bill Gates, China, buying up American farmland. Bill Gates' stated goal is lab-grown meat. Bill Gates' stated goal is eating insects. The World Economic Forum, eating insects over and over. The United Nations is pushing eating insects for protein. Hollywood is pushing it. We had Hollywood actors on, Stephen Colbert pushing this insect paste. This is real. This is happening. We are no longer conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy observers, if you will. And so what they're doing is they're creating chaos. They're knocking down the old order on food, energy, and your freedom of movement. And they're doing it with unbelievable rapidity and unbelievable lack of resistance. That's probably the most shocking, not just the speed, but just how they're literally steamrolling over everyone. Where is the Republican Party in the United States? Every candidate in the midterm should be saying, I will not allow the end of the internal combustion gas powered engine. I will stand up for your right of free travel. I will stand up for short haul flights. I will stand up for your right for airline travel. I will stand up for your right for high yield modern farming practices. We are not going to shut down farms. We are not going to sell our land to China, farmland. We are not going to allow monopolization of farmland like Bill Gates. We need them to stand up on energy, but they're silent. And not only that, but they're actually in many cases actively supporting the agenda. In the case of Kevin McCarthy, the Republican House leader in Washington, D.C., in Congress, he literally, climate's a problem. We need more investment. I mean, they put up the white flag when they're hit with this kind of an agenda. This is what we are facing. And I call it the great car reset, planned vehicle rationing. It is underway. This is what we're dealing with. It is just phenomenal. So on that, let's move on to our survey of the news here. Biden's war on natural gas is going to kill. This is from Michael Schellenberger this week. Biden could save millions of lives that will be lost to hunger, cold temperatures, pollution by simply expanding U.S. natural gas production. but he doesn't do it. And he doesn't do it because literally something, I like the Michael Schellenberger said, it's something, something climate change. We're facing food shortages, energy shortages. We're facing now car shortages. We can't do anything about it because climate change. This has to stop. We virtue signaled for decades on this. We now need mainstream politicians. We need mainstream corporate news to start pushing back. We need people to force this change. This cannot continue. It's gotten so bad on the farm. Rebel News, great story about an Amish Pennsylvania organic farmer now facing hundreds of thousands in fines, raided by federal agents because he was selling food without going through the necessary, selling natural food to private buyers, and has apparently violated some federal government rules. They're raiding organic farms in Pennsylvania. That's how serious. As they're hiring, part of this Inflation Reduction Act is hiring these 87,000 new IRS agents. This is frightening stuff. At the same time, climate crusader Steven Spielberg's private jet burns $116,000 in fuel in just 2 months. Just think about that. Forget about how much CO2 it emitted. $116,000 in jet fuel since June in 2 months. And this, despite the fact that he's warned of the coming climate emergency and climate catastrophe. He is refusing to fly commercial. This is all according to Breitbart News. It's just incredible. This is what we are putting up with, and this is what we're dealing with. It's a great article this week featured at my website, Climate Depot. Joel Kotkin, who's also featured dominant in my book, The Great Reset. Joel Kotkin is a phenomenal writer from Chapman University. He really gets it. He gets the globalist corporate. He gets the whole Great Reset. His analysis is dead on. He was writing in Quillette and he says, before the Industrial Revolution, human civilization invariably used animals and slaves as its primary source of energy. So this is where we're going, a return to green primitivism. That's my headline. And he writes, before the Industrial Revolution, the trillions have been spent on green energy over the past 20 years. But the percentage of global power has barely declined on fossil fuels from 85% to 82%. And the bulk of that reduction came from natural gas. Despair, this is my favorite part of the article, and it's at Climate Depot. Despair tends to stoke fanaticism. Among young leaders, the vast majority believe they face an imminent environmental catastrophe. The student movement around Swedish teenager Greta Thunberg recalls the youthful fanaticism of the medieval Sanctus Pure or holy children who rampaged through Europe in the 13th century, or Mao's Red Guards unleashed during the Cultural Revolution in communist China during the 1960s. This guy is someone you need to read. It's by Joel Kotkin and his co-author was Hugo Kruger. I feature that prominently on Climate Depot this week. It is just, it is phenomenal. And another article, and it's really good, is by Michael Schellenberger about the Great Food Reset. They really do want you to eat bugs. They have made meat expensive and launched a PR campaign to promote bug eating. And it goes on and on. There is multiple, and I mean dozens of examples of the World Economic Forum pushing us all to eat bugs. And you can't dismiss the World Economic Forum as just a cranky old millionaire. It looks like a Bond villain, Klaus Schwab. They have the ear of every government, of every bureaucrat, of every corporate leader, of every media outlet. So it's not like we can just have fun and dismiss the guy. It is fun to try to make fun of him because he's literally the caricature of a villain. But this is what's happening. So this week also, climate Gestapo, the French government is to recruit 3,000 green police over climate change. Canada actually doing something similar under Trudeau, which is incredibly just creepy. To say nothing else. I mean, this is just it's getting real. And this is my quote. I was mentioning Dr. Harvey Reich, professor emeritus at Yale University of Public Health. This is my style. You got to listen to this. He explains why we're no longer conspiracy theorists.
Well, The standard answer is, if you don't like what somebody's saying, you call them a conspiracy theorist. But what I would call it is, we're conspiracy observers. That event 201, for example, had hundreds of people in a room conspiring about how to take over the world on the basis of an infectious pandemic. That's a conspiracy because of all the people involved in it. So, you know, you can call them theorists, but we're observers. We observe these conspiracies.
Well, and that is dead on. That is, again, Dr. Harvey Rice, Professor Emeritus, Yale School of Public Health. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're conspiracy observers. What an incredible thing to say. And he mentioned Event 201. In my book, The Great Reset, I go heavily into that. They literally planned from Rockefeller for the World Health, World Economic Forum to the Johns Hopkins University, had multiple sessions over a decade planning out how they were going to do the next pandemic, waiting for COVID-like thing to come along. And it's amazing how they followed these lockdowns and mask mandates, these fantasies that they had, were never part of the public health recommendation prior. And they actually, in one of them, I detail in the book, my book, The Great Reset, The Permanent Lockdown and the Global Elite, they literally talk about shutting down the global internet, seizing the internet, shutting it down to stop misinformation. So we know what's coming next. The WHO wants a pandemic treaty. So next week, I'll be talking more about the Great Reset. This has been the Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to Paul Andreessen, who joined us this week. We are going to have excitement next week. My book launches, and I will have a lot of media clips and a lot of fun angles, and I will have a lot of different topics that we haven't talked about yet on this program. But thank you for listening. Mark Morano Show on TNT Radio. See you next week.